November 7th calendar. The first case is Puget Sound Energy versus East Bellevue Community Council. And we'll hear from the appellant.
Good morning, Connors. I have brought some handouts that...
All right, you want to give them to the bailiff and he'll distribute them? And did you wish to reserve any time for a rebuttal?
Yes, please. 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
May it please the court, my name is Rita Latsanova. I represent Puget Sound Energy. I'm here with my colleague, Sarah Leverett, and Bob Parker, project manager for this project from PSE. While community councils have important powers, the powers have both geographic and substantive limits, and both limits are relevant in this case. So far, Washington courts have addressed disapproval of projects that were either entirely within or entirely outside the community council's territory. But this case is different. It involves a large infrastructure project that is bigger than EBCC's territory. The map that your honors have in front of you shows the EBCC territory in solid yellow. The service area of the Lake Hills substation is outlined in green, and you can see that most of it is outside EBCC's boundary.
Is that the basis for your argument that there is no authority to approve or disapprove the conditional use permit?
That's one of them. That's one of the arguments. And so the...
What are the other ones?
Well, the other ones are that EBCC acted outside the authority granted to it by the legislature in essentially creating through permit approval exceeding the authority that it has granted to it by the legislature to change or amend the comprehensive plan or the zone or the city code that applies within EBCC's boundary.
And how did they do that? What specific finding or conclusion are you pointing to?
The specific finding, probably the easiest one to point to, is, of course, Resolution 550 has Exhibit A.
Right.
Exhibit A has 16 reasons.
Right.
And the clearest one is Paragraph 9 that says, towards the end, obviously, Urban Boulevard cannot have transmission lines. This ban, this is a ban. This is not an argument about mitigation, that mitigation is insufficient. This ban does not exist in the comprehensive plan or the city code.
We need folks to silence their cell phones. Thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
The comprehensive plan clearly says that 148 is contemplated as a place where the new transmission line would go. And moreover, the Bellevue City Code says that transmission lines are permitted in all zones. So this is the code that EBCC has to live by, because EBCC doesn't have its own code. When the legislature created community councils, it didn't create them as fiefdoms that live by their own laws. There's a procedure for them to tailor the comprehensive plan of the annexing city or the zoning code or the land use code to their own needs. And that is done through 3514050. And that power is not broadly legislative. It's advisory. They have to ask the city to tailor its code or comprehensive plan to the needs of the community council. So in this case, EBCC could have gone to the city of Bellevue and said, there's something very special about 148. It should not be like other boulevards in the city. It should have no transmission lines. It never did that at any point. So the city code says 148 is a place where transmission lines can go. So EBCC exceeded its authority by doing through permit review process what it clearly cannot do through 3514050.
Council, time is short. Let me ask you a question. You make some distinction in your briefing between distribution lines and transmission lines.
Yes.
What's the significance of that?
The significance is that the transmission lines go through from the, they're bigger. They go from the source of the electricity to the substation. And the distribution lines are the ones that take the power from the substation to residences and businesses.
Okay. The other question I have is that you also challenge what is number 10 and 11 in the Exhibit A. Could you briefly address those two paragraphs?
Yes. Well, paragraph 10 is more of the same. Comprehensive plan, the EBCC says that the conditional use is inconsistent with the comprehensive plan because Bellevue is referred to as a city in the park. And that's a theme in EBCC's decision. I think it's well addressed in the city's brief. The city of Bellevue submitted a brief that on this point. City in the park and urban boulevards, these are broad aspirational terms that have no regulatory meaning. There's no definition of urban boulevard or city in the park in the code anywhere. And certainly EBCC is without power to graft its own definition. And that's what it's doing, as I understand it, in paragraph 10. Paragraph 11, quickly, more of the same. Bellevue's commitment to street aesthetics, same idea as I understand it. These are broad aspirational statements that have no regulatory meaning. And on that point, I think the court should defer to the city of Bellevue because this is Bellevue's code. I think I am almost out of time in the main part of my argument, but I want to go back to the map because this project serves 12,400 people. That's the combined service area of the three substations. I think the last survey, the last count was Bellevue has, I think, 139,000 people. So this is close to 10% of the population of Bellevue. And most of them are outside of EBCC's territory. And they will all be affected. In the next big storm, they may lose power. And EBCC does not have the authority to go as far as it did.
Thank you. You'll have 3 minutes in rebuttal.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Kathleen Haggard here today on behalf of the East Bellevue Community Council, and I have Ms. Andrea Bradford with me in court today. Today we are asking this court to essentially find that the EBCC's decision to deny the conditional use permit to Puget Sound Energy for its 115 kilovolt transmission line along 148th, 8th, and 16th, to uphold that decision as being consistent with the Bellevue Comprehensive Plan and Code. We believe that PSC has not met its burden of proving that the EBCC's decision was invalid under one of the standards set forth in LUPA. I first want to emphasize the fact that this project required a conditional use permit, and Professor Stobart gives us a helpful definition of what that means, which we cited in our brief. He says, certain uses may be desirable to have but are somewhat discordant with the regularly permitted uses and so should be controlled on an ad hoc basis. Given the fact that this is the very definition of conditional use permits, what that means is that there's a great deal of discretion that goes into determining whether they should be allowed. And that discretion is directly reflected in the City of Bellevue's code. The criteria for issuing or denying a conditional use permit are as follows. You have to find, in order to grant the conditional use permit, that it's consistent with a comprehensive plan, and there is communication from Bellevue staff in the record indicating that that elevates the elements of the comprehensive plan to be on par with the municipal code. And in fact, the very purpose for doing that is to preserve community vision. Secondly, you have to find that the use is compatible with the character, the appearance, the quality of development, and the physical characteristics of the surrounding area. And the third element that's material here that's specific to power line projects is you must demonstrate an operational need, lack of feasible alternative sites, and the necessity for reliability.
So how is the proposed project inconsistent with the comprehensive plan specifically?
Specifically, if you look at the policy, the comprehensive plan policies that were cited by the EBCC in its findings, if you look at finding 10, they discuss those very elements. And all of those elements read together indicate that City of Bellevue is greatly focused on aesthetics, especially for areas that they've designated as city boulevards, which is the term the comprehensive plan uses, or urban boulevards, which is the term that staff used when communicating with the EBCC about this project. And within those boulevards, boulevards are supposed to be distinctive from other streets and reinforce the image of Bellevue as a city and a park. They're supposed to offer gateways, street trees, median planting, special lighting, sidewalks, seating, public art, landscaping, decorative paving, all of these purely aesthetic elements for the city boulevards. And of the three routes that were considered for this project, only 148th is designated in the comprehensive plan as a quote-unquote city boulevard. There's no
Council, is it your position that under no circumstances transmission lines may go through what you characterize as an urban boulevard?
It's not my position, Your Honor. It wasn't the position of the EBCC. I think that PSE is sort of torturing the EBCC's findings to make it easier for them to knock down. But in reality, what the EBCC found is that when you weigh the considerations, which is exactly what Bellevue staff said is appropriate to do under this conditional use permit analysis, you weigh the sort of dueling considerations of aesthetics versus gains for reliability, you don't come out in favor of allowing this particular project because of the permanent mar on that landscape, because of the fact that it traverses a green belt for 2,000 feet and then parallels another green belt for 2,000 feet, because of the fact that this particular arterial is designated as a city boulevard. That's the side of the scale that deals with the aesthetics. The other side of the scale that's important here is, will this project realize any definitive or even reasonably predictable reliability gains? And has PSE shown an operational need? And the problem there is that when PSE came to speak to the EBCC early on, and when city staff communicated with the EBCC early on about this project, there were two major problems that were highlighted. And one of them is referred to in our briefs as double circuiting. And what that relates to is the leg of this loop on 16th Avenue Southeast originally was proposed to be on the south side of that street. And the reason for that is because there are already power lines on the north side of the street. And if you install one leg of the loop on the north side and a tree falls or a car hits a pole, you've taken down your entire reason for redundancy. And in fact, PSE said in 2012 in a memorandum to the EBCC, "For this reason, double circuiting the line on the north side of 16th Street is unacceptable to us. Double circuiting any portion of the line would provide no reliability benefit in the case of an incident affecting the double circuit portion of this project." The other problem with reliability and the reason the EBCC questioned this project's ability to realize reliability gains was that there's going to be a missing link. As originally conceived, this project would make a complete loop down 8th, down 148th, down 16th to connect up at the substation. But now the decision has been made to delay that portion of the 16th connection to an undefined point in the future. And one of EBCC's major problems with this and the reason that they found that staff had not proven reliability gains here is because the alternative siting analysis and the exponent report were both performed prior to the decisions to double circuit that line and to leave that missing link. And no cohesive expert, either exponent or PSE's alternative siting analysis, came back after that to reanalyze whether this project would actually work and how it could be balanced against, again, the aesthetic problems that it causes the community.
Council, time is short. I'd like you to address paragraph 9 and paragraph 11, which Puget Sound Energy has spoken about in its opening.
Right. So paragraph 9, I would say that this paragraph is not as artfully worded as it could be. Obviously, EBCC is staffed by lay members of the community, not professional hearing examiners. And so I think if someone with a law degree or land use background were to write this, they would write it differently.
Well, we're stuck with what the record says. So
absolutely.
Tell me what 9 says and why it's justified.
Well, very clearly, if you look at the record, the city staff do refer to 148th as an urban boulevard. Very clearly they do. The comprehensive plan uses a slightly different term, city boulevard, to mean essentially the same thing. And I think when you get to the end of this, obviously a major element of urban boulevards is a lack of visible utilities. You know, I would concede that's probably overstating it a bit, but, you know, read in context with the other findings and with the record, what the EBCC was getting at there is that essentially power lines aren't consistent with a goal of aesthetics. They're just not. And I don't think anyone would try to argue that point. Whether you could balance a power line with a need for reliability, you know, that's absolutely arguable. But you have an undeniable detriment to the aesthetic community, which the EBCC talks about in paragraph 9, balanced against a serious question as to whether this project will even work.
And with respect to paragraph 11, what's your response?
Well, paragraph 11, the way I would read that is, if I were to rewrite it, I would insert the terms materially detrimental, which is one of the conditional use criteria, because I think that's really what they're getting at, is that they're talking about the goal for aesthetics. They talk about the 50,000 people who enjoy this park daily. They talk about visual pollution and delays in traffic, which are detriments of the project. And so I really think the inescapable conclusion there is that EBC's finding that this project would be materially detrimental to the surrounding community.
And one final question. There appears to be an argument that the decision of your council has an extraterritorial effect beyond the scope of the statute under which you are operating. Could you just give a brief response to that?
Right. And I don't think that was fully briefed, so I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage. It seems like it's coming out of thin air. But my response to that would be there's no statute or case law supporting such a reading. If you look at the map that PSE handed up, the vast majority of this line is within the EBCC's territory, runs all the way down 148. So I think if you take the position that the EBCC has no authority just because a portion of the project goes outside its territory, that would remove the EBCC's clear statutory authority anytime that were the case. And there's just no evidence that's what the legislature intended.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very briefly, Your Honors, starting with the last question, the argument that EBCC cannot affect an extraterritorial decision was briefed. It was briefed in our reply brief, and it was briefed by the City of Bellevue, and it was done in response to EBCC's broad argument that, I think this is a direct quote, that EBCC can strike any balance it wants. That is EBCC's view of its reach. That is directly contrary to the sentence in 3514040, the paragraph that the sentence that follows the enumeration of the kinds of decisions that they can approve or disapprove. And
well, their argument is that the balancing is part of the analysis necessary for the conditional use permit.
That is correct, but no amount of balancing results in a ban on transmission lines on 148th when 148th is in the comp plan. So the balancing was already done. If EBCC wants to rebalance, it needs to exercise its authority, advisory authority, under 3514050. And if the city of Bellevue agrees, then the designation will change. So, yes, there is some balancing, but no balancing can achieve a ban along 148th. And I think council's argument shows very clearly that this is a ban. In paragraph 9, it says, obviously, comma, there can be no transmission lines on 148th. That's what it says. That's a ban. This is not about mitigation. And if it was really about aesthetics, I think EBCC's argument today would be, and in the brief, you know, mitigation is insufficient. $900,000 that PSC is committing to mitigation is not enough. It should be more, or some things should be done differently. It should all be planted with native trees or cedars or something substantive about mitigation. And we haven't heard anything about that. So just a word about reliability and the operational need. We're dealing with a regulated industry, and it has to plan based on the possibility of a 100-year storm, of a 50-year storm. It doesn't have the luxury to plan reliability and operational need based on this head-in-the-sand position that we haven't had a big storm in a long time, we don't need to worry about it. It's like saying we haven't had a big earthquake, so we don't need to worry. I think that's obviously not the case. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. This next